Hey guys, welcome to week 5 of our spring curriculum podcast. This is Jesus Comes to Campus, and today we're going to go through John 10, 1 through 21. You might be taken aback because you click this podcast and you expect to hear Dylan's voice, but this week we're reversing the roles.
Let's go.
And now I'm going to be asking Dylan some questions to help guide us through this. So say hello, Dylan.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about this passage, like what's going on.
Yeah, so we're pretty much still in the conversation that we had last week with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are still here. They're still bothering Jesus. Man, the poor Pharisees just didn't get it. In the book of John, they're kind of the dummies who never get it, except for Nicodemus. He kind of figures it out. But so there's this kind of antagonism that's still going on. We talked about spiritual blindness last week, and guess what? The Pharisees are still kind of spiritually blind. So Jesus offers up kind of these images to help explain who he is, why he's doing the things he's doing, like healing, like giving someone sight. And so he even, we call these like parables, but they're really actually not parables. In kind of biblical scholarship, people call these little images, actually, they're more like proverbs than they are like parables. So, you know, it's not like he's telling this long story, but he's giving these kind of little imagery, kind of driven metaphors, and they're more like proverbs. So we're going to call them proverbs in this podcast, even if they're not like an aphorism or like a wisdom teaching, but they are kind of these images that are really quick and snappy that he's trying to tell the Pharisees, hey, this is who I am, and this is how you get to the Father. And they just don't get it.
Dang. Yeah, that's good. I've never heard it explained like that. And just like something I forgot to say before we started.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't done the book part to prep for group, maybe just like go ahead and do that before listening to the podcast, because we would just like love this to be a supplementary to like help you into like group discussion as opposed to your own personal, what you're getting out of the scripture.
That
is just like so essential to our walk, to learn how to like just sit with scripture and the Lord and just like let him speak to your heart. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It would be a big problem if you walked into the scriptures hearing our voices more than the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
So go spend time in the scripture and then come back and you can hear us talk about it. So
yeah. Great. And now we're going to continue.
Here we go.
I just like love this passage the whole time. I'm like really sappy. And the whole time I was reading it, I was like, oh,
yeah,
because there's just like these parts that are so sweet. But also it's like, oh, no. So there's just like some of the parts like that. I maybe just like get you to like cringe a little bit. Just like talk about his like knowledge and like he just like knows, you know. So can you just like maybe like twist that a little bit for me?
Sure. He says he knows his sheep. Jesus says he knows his sheep as intimately as he knows his Father. Which if you're like me, you're like, wait, you know all the bad stuff about me, you know, like, you know, everything. It actually reminds me of a prayer that I grew up saying in church, grew up in a liturgical context. And so we said these prayers called collects, and it's spelled like collects, but you say it collects. It's weird and I don't get it still, but I say it anyways. But it's called the Collect for Purity, and we would pray it kind of like, you know, in church, you sing the songs, and then you move on to the other stuff. And so it's the prayer that you sing after the songs, before the Bible readings. And it says, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hid. And it's just such a beautiful picture of that is who God is. Like, there's no thought we've ever had. There's no action we've ever done. There's no moment where we've been alone and unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows the most about us. Now, here's the quick turn, though. The person who knows us the most loves us the most. Yeah. And I think that's a big turn here, that one of the most encouraging parts about this passage, but it's something that could also freak you out, is like, oh no, God knows everything about me and everything I've ever done and all the broken stuff. And then his word into that fear and into that worry is, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing that he speaks. And so that's actually really encouraging. And, and the character of Jesus, the character of God revealed in Jesus, is one that he knows us as intimately as he knows his Father. And he loves us as intimately as the Father loves us. The triune God loves us fully. And so it's just a beautiful picture. And you're right. It feels scary. And actually, I think that's reality speaking. Mm-hmm. That's not an irrational fear. That is a rational fear, that the God of the universe knows every crooked part of our heart and loves us enough to actually want to lead us into straight paths, into open space, into the sheep pen, or into whatever, mm-hmm. like through the gate into life with God, yeah. as kind of this passage gives us. So,
yeah, I think it's like so sweet to just even think about like how God responds to our like little bit of fear right there. Cause he just is so compassionate and so in love with us that us like being stricken with fear of like, oh no, God knows me. Like he wants to work our hearts into like being so okay with being open to him, because then we know how much he loves us and he wants us so badly to know how deeply he loves us.
Absolutely. It's that garden shame that humans felt.
Yeah.
Where they realized, oh no, we're naked. And like, God is like, who told you you were naked? Like who told you that like this is, yeah, of course you were, but that's because you were experiencing like love without shame. And once shame came in, suddenly it's, oh, I'm, you know, I need to be clothed and I need to hide from God. And so that human tendency to want to hide and to be afraid and to worry and to feel shameful, God speaks love into that. And that is actually what leads us out of our shame. And so, yeah, so I think that's just like, even the fact that we can like be surprised by that, I think is mm-hmm. a theology that comes from the fall, that we think yeah. God doesn't know us, or that we can hide and not be with God. And I think it's something about our culture today where we're so conditioned to experience life where God is this like distant being who's not present in our everyday reality and isn't currently walking with us in every moment of our life, that suddenly when we realize who he is, we're stricken with fear of like, wait, God's with me? And it's like, well, yeah, duh. Like that's what the book of John is all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, from moment one, it says he dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. And the other gospels call him Emmanuel, God with us. Like the fact that Jesus is with us isn't meant to strike fear, but because of our shame and our fallenness, we can feel shame. But then Jesus shows up and says, no, I love you and I want to lead you mm-hmm. out of shame into life to the full.
Yeah. And like becoming, like making that like turn is just like so freeing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I just like love this passage and I think it's so sweet. And so you just like mentioned a little bit ago about the gate, and this can be kind of confusing because at some points it seems like, oh, Jesus is saying he's the shepherd. At some points he's saying he's the gate.
Yeah.
I'm confused, Dylan.
Totally.
Can you unpack that?
Well, Jesus is definitely, if we take it as, this is why I want to call it a proverb and not a parable, because he's actually telling us different proverbs, not one whole parable. Because it seems like he's mixing metaphors. It seems like he's calling himself the gate and the shepherd. And so it's like, how can you be both, dude? You're one or the other. Like, mm-hmm. But that's why they're separate parables. And he even says, like, you're not getting it, so let me tell it to you another way. But both images kind of hit at the same thing, which is there's a human desire to be in on the life that God offers, to be in on the good life, to be in on blessing, to be in on beauty and truth. And the question is, how do we get there? There's always this higher narrative of like, we want to experience loving relationship. We want to experience meaning and purpose. We want to experience joy. But how do you get there? And so Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, who are these guys who are like, well, you get there through religious grit and like determined obedience. And like you grab God by the neck and by the scruff of his collar and you say, let me in because I've been really good. And Jesus is like, well, you enter through the gate, and guess what? I'm the gate. You enter mm-hmm. through me. Or you guys still aren't getting it. I'm actually the shepherd. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. And the gate metaphor, it's almost like Jesus gives them a simple metaphor and they still don't understand it. And then he drops the bomb of a metaphor. Because if you've gone through the kind of the sections leading up to group time in your workbook, you'll notice that we gave you Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. And that was really purposeful, because when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's like dropping a huge bomb on the Pharisees. I mean, there's no Pharisee who doesn't know Psalm 23, mm-hmm. starting with the Lord is my shepherd. So then Jesus uses the statement, I am the good shepherd. Let's start with I am. If you know your Old Testament, you know that in the Old Testament, God gives himself a name, and it is I am. Actually, in the Greek, in the Septuagint, Ego Emer is used as the name for God in the Old Testament. And then every time Jesus says I am in the book of John in Greek, it's Ego Emer. And so for someone who's reading the Old Testament in Greek back in the first century, every time Jesus makes an I am statement, they go, holy cow, he just used the name of God. You know? So he's dropping this bomb. And even when he says, I am the gate, there's an I am statement in there. But then not only does he say, I am the good shepherd, he uses I am, but then he says the good shepherd and he recalls Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So he's making this statement about, hey dudes, I am Yahweh incarnate. I'm God in the bod. So he drops that bomb on them. And then he also reveals his character, his goodness. Suddenly he's recalling Psalm 23, but anyone who knows Psalm 23, they're not just going to remember the Lord is my shepherd. They're going to remember things like he leads me beside still waters. My cup overflows. Surely his goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And so it's this like challenge, but it's encouraging at the same time. And so he's calling out the Pharisees. So he's mixing these metaphors because he almost like gives them, you know, like a little jab. And then he goes for the gut. With the second one where he's like, you guys aren't getting it. I am the good shepherd. It's really powerful.
That is so powerful. Like I'm literally sitting here and I'm just like, my mind's blowing. I don't even know what to say next because it's just like so sweet. Like even as I was reading the scripture, I was like thinking and like Psalm 23 was just like going through my head. And so I do think that overlap is so cool. And to even think like, Jesus is saying, I am, and King David wrote that psalm, who Jesus is the descendant of, and King David was a shepherd before he became a king.
Totally.
And just like how that was like valued, that gentleness, you know?
Well, that's the power of like that God is so like mighty, and but not just like mighty, but like loves to use his might in beautiful ways that he could use real human history, King David, who started out as a shepherd, to be this kind of like prefiguring, precursor, forerunner image of the King of Israel to come, the King who would rule forever at the right hand of God, Jesus. And so when you hear like, I am the good shepherd, and you hear this Messiah language, which means king, like you're supposed to go, wait a second, I've heard of a guy who was a shepherd and a king. Like, but he was the one who like God promised that his throne would rule forever. Oh, whoa, like this Jesus guy has a lot of similarities to that guy in the Old Testament that God made a covenant with. This is really powerful. Mm-hmm. This is something's happening here. I always liken it to like when Darth Vader, like in, if you haven't seen episode 9 of Star Wars, it, you know, you need to see it. I mean, it's not like my favorite Star Wars, but it, you know, it's Star Wars. But episode 8 is way better. Don't at me. But,
if you disagree, email Dylan at ukcsf.org.
It's fine. I would love to argue Star Wars with you. But when like Kylo Ren sees the old, like burnt up, crushed mask of Darth Vader, and like the music kind of swells, and then you look at him and it's like, this guy, like Kylo Ren is the heir to this. I mean, it's the opposite for Jesus. It's like Jesus is the heir to this really great thing, and Kylo Ren is this heir to this like evil Sith, you know, lineage, and Jesus is the lineage of God's promise to his chosen people that he will save the world through him. So it's this just this powerful, loaded image and metaphor. Excuse me, so sorry. But it's there's so much going on here. And if you just read it as sort of like, oh yeah, he's saying he's the good shepherd, it's so sweet. That is like absolutely what this is about. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's this like deep encouragement, but it's also this like, whoa, really heavy, really weighty statement about who Jesus is, that he's not just some prophet. He's not just some teacher. He's not just some guy who's doing miracles around Galilee or Jerusalem. He's like, he really is the God who came and dwelt among us, who tabernacled among us is another way to put it from John 1. So this is who we're dealing with. And John really wants to put that in our brains that, you know, Jesus isn't just some guy. He really is God in the bod, as that's the phrase we love to use. But yeah, it's really powerful.
That is, yeah. So throughout, I think a couple times it talks about robbers and thieves, and that might not like make as much sense to us today. And so can you help us unpack like maybe what that is today, like, and going through the gate as opposed to going over the fence?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it ties into what we talked about last week, where the Pharisees just don't get it. They're like so spiritually blind. And you know, like we talked about just a second ago, that they're the guys who want to grab God by the scruff of his collar and be like, hey, let us in. We've been so obedient. And Jesus is basically calling that kind of like obedience that gets you in on the life of God. He's calling that like being a robber, being a thief, sneaking in, climbing over the gate, climbing over the fence, not going through the gate. And so he's basically saying, if you want in on what God has, the only way into the good life, the only way into blessing, the only way into beauty and goodness and truth is through Jesus. And it's not this statement about exclusivity, because he's the good shepherd. He's not saying, it's not like, hey, you guys are out. You don't get it. It's more like, I want you to come in. I want you to come in and be a part of this, but the way in is through me. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. He really does say, I want to give you like life and life to the full. Like, that is such a beautiful statement that he's like, I don't just want to offer you like forgiveness, but actually fullness. That the fullness of life that you desire comes through me, and the only way to enter in is through Jesus. Now, the Pharisees don't like that, because when it's a gift, like the gift that Jesus offers, if it's a gift, you didn't do anything to earn it, so you can't do anything to kind of manipulate it. You know, if the good life comes through obedience, then, you know, what you get is what you get. You know, however obedient you are is however blessed you are. But when it's grace, you can't look at God and be like, hey, give me what I deserve. He gives you something and you go, what could I ever give back to you that's like worthy of what you've given me? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of almost owe more to God because of this beautiful gift that he's just like, I so value you that I'm just going to freely give it to you. And you go, what could I do but like run after you and love you and like give you everything that I have? And so grace is actually a little bit scary in that way, that it can be like, you know, Jesus offers you this life to the full, but it's through him, not through your like effort. And we liken, you know, this week to kind of the admissions office on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Jesus comes to campus, and it's, you know, the way that you get into college is you prove how worthy you are. You know, here's your GPA. Here's all the community service that you did. My mom made up that I was a nanny for my college application. And it was like my worst nightmare, because I like, you know, like babysat my little sisters when my parents went on like a date night or something. But you know, and that was like the worst possible thing that could happen to me. But her intention was to be like, we need you to have job experience to like get into college. And gosh, that is like one of my most embarrassing stories. It's like some stranger was out there reading like, this dude was a nanny when he was a teenager. But it was all because of, we wanted to prove that I was worthy of getting into college and worthy of getting scholarships. And, you know, if Jesus showed up, he would be like, oh, you went into like heaven college? Guess what? You enter through me. Mm-hmm. I'm the admissions office. And guess what? The gate is open. The shepherd wants to lead you in. And it challenges the Pharisees, because the Pharisees want to say, no, we know who's getting in. We're the ones who are getting in. We know because we're obedient. We've kind of got God by the scruff of the neck. And Jesus shows up and says, I am the character that you read in your scriptures. I am him incarnate. I'm in him in the bod. And guess what? I want as many people in on it as are willing to enter, but you have to enter through me.
Yeah, this is just so important, I think, for just like this population right now that we're like working with for college, because we just are trying to earn and prove that we can get these grades to get this like great job, and that we can keep our scholarships, you know? And it's just so freeing to know that like, we are just called worthy. Like you sitting there listening to this podcast, like God just like calls you worthy and so beloved, and just like his sweet sheep. And like, that sounds like a weird thing to be called, but it's just so, when you think about like the significance of that, to God being our shepherd, it is just so sweet and kind and gentle and loving. And it just is like this freedom that we get to live into, and the gate is just open. And so even what I'm thinking about is, okay, how do I encourage this in other people's lives too? Yep. To all the people around me who are trying to earn so much, like how do we seek them out and invite them into this life?
Yeah, totally. Well, I remember a story that I read somewhere about a bishop in England who, he worked with college students, and he led kind of like a morning chapel, maybe once a week, maybe I forget if it was like multiple times a week, but basically it was the beginning of a school year, and he was meeting new students and kind of like tabling somewhere and giving out, you know, info about his ministry or whatever. And a student came up to him and they talked for a little bit, and he was like, so, you know, are you Christian? And the student was like, no, I'm not. I don't believe in God. And the bishop looked at him and said, oh, which God don't you believe in? And the student was like, oh, you know, the Christian God, the God who's like angry with me and wants me to be a better person. And, you know, is so you know, adamant that I'm like no good and is disappointed with me and, you know, just like had all these answers about kind of a performance driven God of like, you know, he thought that the Christian God was that way. And the bishop looked at him and said, oh, don't worry, I don't believe in him either. And the student was like, what? You know, like you don't believe in God? And he's like, no, I do, but I don't believe in the God that you're describing. And it was this opening to this conversation of, yeah, maybe the problem isn't that you have rejected God, it's that you have rejected a God that isn't the one revealed in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that the one who's revealed in Jesus, like that God, the Christian God, is the one who looks at you and says, like, he says, I want to give you life to the full, but he also says something that's a little paradoxical. He also says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And when you read this, you're like, wait, what does life to the full have to do with, like, the shepherd dying? And one small piece of that is a statement of value. And like, that is mm-hmm. a statement of love. Like, if you want to know what something's worth to somebody, ask them what they're willing to give for it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it says, John 3:16, like, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that's a statement of value about you and me, about everyone, is that God looks at you and he says, like, you're so precious to me that I'm going to give myself to you, mm-hmm. for you, to bring you home, to bring you back into the fold, the sheepfold. And that totally changes the game in a world that's so driven by performance, where you have to be a certain way, that you have to measure up, that you have to look, act, speak, all these different things to be in. Jesus looks at you and says, no, come on, follow me. Join me. I'm the good shepherd. And that's just really powerful. I mean, to the weary soul who's tired and burnt out on trying to be good enough, this is like exactly what we long for. But it's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to be like, oh yeah, totally. Like, okay, he's measured up for me. But it's like, because mm-hmm. we so easily turn back to, okay, cool. Now that I believe that Jesus is like enough, I need to get back to work.
Yeah.
And it's not that. Suddenly, you know, the response that we have to this is not get back to work. It's I want to live life to the full.
Yeah.
I want to honor and celebrate the God who made me, the God who loves me, the God who has set me free, mm-hmm. the God who is healing me, who is saving me. And so all of my effort goes towards honoring him. Mm-hmm. Not towards earning from him. And so that is totally different. And it's freeing and it's something that I'm still learning. Like, it's something that I day to day really am trying to learn how to be someone who honors and doesn't earn, mm-hmm. to be someone who receives grace, not tries, and I don't try to perform. Because even our spirituality, we can find ways to be like, well, I want to become a better person, so I'm following Jesus. And so that way, the more I follow Jesus, the more he'll love me and the more he'll give me stuff that I want. And he'll, you know, when I pray for a car, he'll get me a new car or whatever. And that's like, whoa, stop, hold on. Like, this mm-hmm. isn't, that's not the character of God. So I'm going off on a tangent, but the paradox of life laid down and life to the full is that the life to the full that Jesus offers comes through him giving himself in our place, mm-hmm. for us, to us. And the life to the full that he gives is not earned. Mm-hmm. It's freely offered. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. I just like even want to highlight what you just said. Like, this is something I'm still working on, like, because it's me too, you know, and I want everyone to not feel like they're not doing well enough, because that just then goes completely against what the scripture is saying. And that just like be encouraged that like this is like a lifelong transition that we are trying
Absolutely.
To make, you know. And so like none of us are perfect and we're all just trying to like live it out and seek it
Yes.
out, because the world teaches us the opposite. And so it's so easy to just like fall back to trying to earn as opposed to just like receiving
That's
and
really
living
good.
Out of love.
Yeah. Even the shepherd metaphor really kind of signifies something that takes longer than we're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
That like all of the language that Jesus uses is kind of like journey language or process language. He says, follow me. You know, I'm the good shepherd. That's a follow me metaphor, that the shepherd leads the sheep,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we want to have kind of the moment where it's like, okay, everything's all better. But Jesus kind of uses language that says, all right, like when you follow me, you're going to experience healing over time. Like, this is something that takes a lifetime of following him. And that's a really good point, that even like in our kind of perfectionism, we can be impatient with, the patience of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dylan, do you have like any final thoughts or maybe just like one thing that you're like, I really want people to take this home with them?
Yeah, I think I want people to really dig into Psalm 23. I think that image given in Psalm 23, there's a reason that it's all over Hobby Lobby, you know?
That's a good point.
Like, it's cliched, but it's cliched because it's good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we have an idea of God that is different than Psalm 23, I think that's not just like a, it's not just a theology problem, but if we talk about theology as like, you know, the thing that we view God as just in our like, in our unconscious moments, on our autopilot, we're just kind of like, oh yeah, God's like angry with me and wants me to measure up. Instead of being like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Like that imagery means something about who you are, about who God is, and about what life means. And so if you really feel like you're experiencing this passage as like something that you've never really seen God as, I would say dig into Psalm 23 daily for a while, like a month, 3 months, I don't know. But find a way to bring Psalm 23 into your life really regularly and see how like the power of the scriptures actually transforms your heart, that you begin to experience Psalm 23 and see God in your mind's eye as the shepherd, not as the angry taskmaster or the distant like spiritual power or whatever, but actually as a person, a being, Jesus who loves you. So that's my hope.
Yeah. Dang, that's so good. And just like so sweet. My sappy heart is just like continuing to melt. But Dylan, thank you so much.
Rachel, you did a great job hosting.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
You said nice things about me last week, and I am grateful that you did this. Come on. In real lifetime, we basically recorded both weeks in like a real life hour, but to everyone else, they're experiencing it as like a week. But you did a great job.
Thanks.
Great job an hour ago, a great job right now.
Thanks, Dylan. If you want the written resources for this, please go to ukcsf.org.